Lane, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, April 16, 1905. Elder Lane, Sister Peck, my bookkeeper, has just brought me a note for $500 to sign. This is the note that you sent in your letter, which I received today. I thank you for obtaining this money for me. For 2 or 3 years, I have been using $1,000 belonging to Sister McEnterfer. The time has come when she needs this money, and I desire to borrow $1,000 in order to return her loan. If you can secure the $1,000 on the two notes, please do so. And if not, please secure for me the $300. For several years, I have been rather closely pressed for means. Before leaving Australia, I invested all the money I could spare in the work there. How glad I am that I did this, for now the cause of God in Australia is established on a firm basis, and the work is rapidly being made self-supporting. I do not begrudge $1 that I have invested in the cause of God, even though I am obliged to pay $1,000 a year interest. It would be a relief to me not to have to pay out so much money for interest. But I have nothing to worry about, save that there will not be manifested in souls unsaved all the interest that should be manifested in them. I am not surprised at the conversion of the persons mentioned in your letter, for I am instructed to look for the conversion of a large number from the highways and from the byways. Unexpected talent will be developed in those in the common walks of life. If men and women can only have the message of truth brought to them, many who hear will receive it. Those of every rank of life, high and low, rich and poor, will accept the truth for this time. Some who are regarded as uneducated will be called to the service of the Master, even as the humble, unlearned fishermen were called by the Savior. Men will be called from the plow, as was Elisha, and will be moved to take up the work that God has appointed them. They will begin to labor in simplicity and quietness, reading and explaining the Scriptures to others. Their simple efforts will be successful. House-to-house work will be done by men and women who will realize that they can labor for the Lord because He has put His Spirit upon them. As they go forth in humble faith, Christ will impart to them grace that they will impart to others. The Lord will give them the same love for perishing souls that He gave to the disciples of old. In the future, human beings through whom angels can work will accept the truth. In the past, heavenly messengers have worked in cooperation with human agencies, giving them a force of language and power of influence that has furnished persuasive argument which has reached the citadel of the soul. The labors of apparently illiterate, unlearned men often have a wonderful influence for good. Men are spending precious time in the study of books when, if they would give themselves to the Lord and go forth to humble, earnest service, a holy influence would come upon them, and they would be enabled to speak words that would be like apples of gold in pictures of silver to unbelieving, hungry souls. What think you, Elder Lane, of thousands converted in a day, after the Holy Spirit had come upon the apostles? After the day of Pentecost, the disciples went everywhere, preaching the simple yet powerful truths that Christ had commanded them to preach. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," said the Savior. "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Mark 16, verse 15, Matthew 28, verse 20. None who catch the divine rays from the Sun of Righteousness will lack for fitting words. It will not be oratory, as the world counts oratory, but heavenly eloquence. They will speak words that will go direct to minds, awakening conviction and causing their hearers to ask, "What is truth?" We are to depend upon the great, invisible Master Teacher for appropriate words. In the days of the apostles, men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In this, our day, men supposed to be illiterate will speak words dictated by the Holy Spirit. Let men with the love of Jesus in their hearts go forth to give the invitation. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Matthew 11, verse 29. Such workers we may encourage, saying, I am sure that you will exert an influence for good in this grand and holy work, if you will take heed to yourselves, realizing that you are subjects of saving grace, brought into sacred family relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and commissioned to work for the saving of souls. I fear that I shall not be understood, but I know what I am writing about. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, is to be our watchword. Galatians 2, verse 20. Christ is our advisor. We are not to trust in men or make flesh our arm. Day by day, we are to unlearn the lessons that we have learned in the world and come into blessed relationship with Christ. The true child of God has no ambition but to be his consecrated messenger, found worthy to escape the things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man, not having his own righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. Then shall the righteous man stand in great boldness before the face of such as have afflicted him, and made no account of his labor. When they see it, they shall fear and be troubled, and shall be amazed at the strangeness of his salvation, which is so far beyond their expectation. And they, repenting and groaning from anguish of spirit, shall say within themselves, This is he whom we held in derision, making of him a proverb of reproach. We fools counted his life madness, and his end to be without honor. Now he is numbered among the children of God, and his lot among the saints.